right, there we go. Tom Petty. Today is tribute night to the great Tom Petty. We lost a great, great artist. And welcome back. The show is So What's Your Problem? I'm Stan Katzer. I'm here with Sarah Intelligator, Robert Lemley, personal injury attorney, LemleyLaw.com, and the great Jeffrey Thomas, who is my minder, mind you, keeps his eye on me. The studio hires him to make sure I am behaving properly and within the new social norms of 2017. We're all nice people. I don't see gender. I don't see anything.
You don't have
I just
to be
see
that
a bunch
blind,
of nice, nice people.
There we
Jeffrey
go.
Jeffrey has not...
Well, speak for yourself.
Well, Jeffrey is...
That's not what we see across from you.
Well, let me say this about Sarah Intelligator. She also is one of our guest experts, but she's sitting as co-host. But she is a very, very successful, talented family law attorney.
Go on.
And so we want Sarah to please, to lighten the load... Tell us about that renowned award you won your first year in law school. All like to hear about
Never going to live this down.
Please let us, please share with us. It's the last segment. It's almost one in the morning.
My first place oralist award, yes.
Yes. She won first, and she won first place oralist.
Never live that title down.
But what was the...
Pun intended.
What was the present...
Sorry.
What was the see why we like Sarah on the show? I said, well, there's no Debbie, there's no Kristen. Who can I get? Sarah. So now, what was the context, though? Seriously.
It was a moot court. So you are basically, it's like a fake appellate court. And what was really great was in the final round, there were 9 Supreme Court justices, like real Supreme Court justices from around the country sat in and judged. No.
Oh, really?
That was the final round. And it was actually in the court in Pasadena. So in the appellate court.
You addressed them orally.
I addressed them orally. They were all pleased.
Did you enjoy it?
And I won first place.
Did you enjoy it?
You know, it was as good for them as it was for me. Then yes.
Apparently. Yeah.
Okay. And you have other, you know,
other talents
that make you famous.
Yeah.
No, but I also like this. We did ask the question of, no, Sarah's tough. And the day she was on from ThomasEmploymentLaw.com was Zoe Beckis. And we did ask the two of them because, you know, how it was when they first began as being, I got to watch how I'm going to say it, you know, as being diminutive and of the younger female persuasion. How was it in court? How were you treated by other attorneys?
Yeah.
That's a fair question,
yeah.
Right?
Completely fair.
Yeah.
But
yes.
These two had the same answer.
Oh, what was that?
Came out of the
really?
Gate like
what?
A pistol.
What?
Well, Zoe said she used it to her benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't really, I think most attorneys, there's some respect and it's, you know.
It's okay.
Traditionally, yes.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, few who, I think they see a younger attorney. I mean, this was back in the day, obviously not now, but when I started practicing and they thought, oh, young blonde, she doesn't know what she's doing. And they let their guard down or they try to flirt with me. Yeah.
I will never
came
forget.
In for the kill.
I started practicing law in the late 1980s in Tallahassee, Florida.
Uh-huh.
There was a young female lawyer appearing in court. And the judge turned to her opposition attorney and said, counsel, tell me what this little girl here
wants. Oh, you're serious?
He was so diminutive and dismissive.
This was in Florida?
This was in Florida in the late 80s.
Oh, my God.
It shocked me.
Wow.
What was her response?
She was
probably
steamed.
Intimidated.
She was steamed. She didn't say anything. Yeah. She didn't address the judge. I was in court when I wasn't involved in that particular case. I was just observing.
And, you know, even for a young guy right out of law school, it can be a little intimidating. I guess you're up against guys that have been there and done that before.
Well, and that neck of the woods at that era was very good old boy. There was a network there.
So the guys were always okay.
But I think a lot of attorneys who've been practicing for a very long time, they see somebody who is a newbie and they think, oh, I got this. And so there's some sort of, I think there's a little bit of elitism that naturally happens. I don't know if that's necessarily specific to gender, although it can be.
I would think that there is an extra layer of it on
sometimes
younger women, yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, I would go further than elitism. I think there's outright bullying of younger lawyers.
I've never experienced it, but.
For sport, you know, I think it is. People Yeah. I don't know that our listeners care.
No.
That young lawyers get picked on.
Yeah. No, I think. Well, also, it could add some apprehension if somebody is choosing an attorney. You know, we're trying to say don't be fooled by outward appearance. I mean, the gals what could I say? The people on this show are all tough and are up on their game. And, I mean, it's like in the sports world, in the business world, if somebody thinks they have an advantage over you and you can use that to your benefit.
And why wouldn't you? You should be respectful to your opposing counsel. But if you know that somebody doesn't have your experience and you know you just by virtue of how many years you've practiced, you have more experience, then why not use that to your advantage? You should still be respectful and there's some decorum. But
I think from a woman's point of view, it's especially tough because the things that make a lawyer successful often, or a business person or a political leader, is their toughness, their forthright, their forward. And a lot of those qualities get a woman called a bitch. And
by being tough.
But those are the qualities that they need to succeed in those arenas.
I've been called worse.
I'm sure.
Yes. Even in your own home.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah. I get that. I'm hearing you. Okay, well, we have a question. Let me throw this out. Jeffrey Thomas, where are we going with minimum wage? And do you counsel your employer clients at all with that, or is more at the legislative level? And are there lobbyists you're familiar with that work for employees?
Where we're going with minimum wages up.
Yeah, well, that's
okay.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
So we've got in counsel. Yes, we do counsel employers on minimum wage issues. And I think what you have to pay close attention to is where the operation is, right? You've got state minimum wage now on a schedule going up. You've got local ordinances that affect certain operations in certain cities. You've got county minimum wage ordinances, and they're across the state at different dollar figures on different schedules going up. And then we've got employers with operations outside the state of California. So it becomes we actually maintain, and people in our field maintain big grids.
Right.
Now
I hear
data.
What you're saying. Yeah. So now you're dealing, let's say you're dealing, and you deal, I know you deal with large companies. You deal with large corporations. So are you speaking to counsel that's on the same, working for the same company in other states? And is there a lot of crisscrossing? In other words, I'm not going to say, you know, let's say a big chain, McDonald's, which I know is not your client, I don't think. So now the laws are very different. Employer-employee laws are very different in California than they are in Michigan or in New York. So when you take on that client, you are taking them on locally as a California firm. Do you see where I'm going with that question?
We typically defend the employer's operations in the state of California,
right?
In state and federal court,
right?
We can counsel employers with respect to their operations outside the state of California. All right, so we've got clients with operations in Hawaii and Texas and New York and wherever. We don't represent them in court in those states unless some of our lawyers are licensed in those states, which we are. But we can counsel, so we can give advice.
Right. Because I imagine, you know, we've talked about this before, that California has very strict law, air to the side of the employee, let's put it that way, more so than other states.
Absolutely.
So people get into a dilemma when they have offices in California. You know, they have to consult with you and find out what's the reality or the legality.
Yeah, you have to even customize your policies based on, I mean, one employer can have different policies for different operations in different cities in the state of California and certainly outside of California.
Yeah. No, I know I have a friend of mine who's pretty big in human resources for a large company in New York who constantly has to come out to California because there's employee issues that don't take place in the other states where they are. And it's so bad that it needs a hands-on situation of some bigwig coming out to temper the situation, so to speak. All right, Robert, what does somebody do? They're in a, you know, they're listening to the show tonight. They're getting a fender bender. How soon do they want to contact an attorney, such as yourself, let's say?
Well,
driving the freeway, some drunk rear ends them, and boom.
Yeah. You want to contact an attorney as soon as possible. Yeah. You know, the insurance companies have all these great slogans about good hands and we're the rock and we're your friendly neighbor. And I assure you that there's not one person out there with an insurance company that's any of those things. Their job is to hold on to the money.
Yeah, of course.
If you want to try to get that money from them, you better hire a good attorney.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, somebody said that to me the other day. They said, it was actually a friend of ours. The other insurance company was so bad. Her insurance company said, it's a good thing you have an attorney. All right, we're not going to back down. It's been a great show. But let me say our panel again. Jeffrey Thomas, Thomas Employment Law. Don't take it the wrong way. I love Jeffrey. I love when he's on the show. He keeps me in line. And he knows I'm sweating every second he's sitting opposite me.
I'm a nice guy. Not really.
The great Robert Lemley, lemleylaw.com. Go Gators. Sad for Tom Petty and the fabulous, brilliant, beautiful, with great calves. Jeffrey took his headphones off. Sarah and telling us, Sarah, you will be back in that seat.
Oh, lovely.
So we'd like
to
have you
back
in this seat as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Saturday, 1 o'clock. Be safe out there and don't back down. Thank you.